Genesis, and I'll be in, start off in chapter 39. I'll be mostly in there, in that area. Appreciate those who have been praying for my voice. It's been getting a little bit better very gradually. I've been eating little Mentos things for helping me all out a little this morning, and I appreciate that. Genesis 39. If you haven't found it yet, just leave your Bible there and look intelligent. If you can't find Genesis, then just wherever you are is good. So I'll start at Genesis 39, verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him, bought him out of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and served him, and made him overseer over his house, and all that he had put into his hand. And I'm going to turn forward to chapter 41, and verse 37. I'm going to start there. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a man as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Forasmuch as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne shall I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have made thee over all the land of Egypt. I've made thee over all the land of Egypt. All right, let's pray. We'll talk about this. Father, thank you for the privilege of preaching your word. Thank you for the words of God. Thank you, they're practical today, though they're eternal and perfect. Thank you, Lord, they work in our lives today if we follow them. And I pray today that we would hear the word, understand the word. And that's very important, Father. You said in the parable of the sower, they understood not, so didn't grow. I pray you'd give us understanding. I pray the Spirit of God to do that. I pray that you touch every heart, receptive and tender and ready to hear, and those who are a little harder, Father, touch every heart. I pray that we would be spoken to individually, that your Holy Spirit would get each one of our attention so we do what we need to do for you, and help us understand that you have something for us so we can learn some lessons from Joseph. Please, Lord, we ask for your blessing, your power, for you to mightily use this message and anoint it with the power of the Holy Spirit, change lives, give wisdom, and be among us in a powerful way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we see here in this chapter 39 that Joseph's very blessed. Story of Joseph is one of my favorites in the Bible. I love the story of Joseph. Joseph is, he gets a couple dreams from God, and one of these dreams, it's with stars and moons and his brother, basically his brothers, bow down to him, and then later he has another dream where his brothers bow down to him and his mom and dad bow down to him. And he, not thinking anything special, he decided to just tell his brothers and sisters and mom and dad that story, and they couldn't believe it. They were shocked. How can you think that your brothers and sisters are going to bow down? Brothers are going to bow down to you? And by the way, if you have brothers, how would that go over with you? If your brother's sitting going to bow down to me? My brothers are all bigger than me, and they would have said, yeah, we'll be bowing down or we're pounding you. And my brothers wouldn't have went for that at all. And they weren't very happy about it. And then the dad had a favoritism toward Joseph, because Joseph was his child when he was at an older age. And so he made his Joseph this beautiful coat of many colors and made the brothers more jealous. And so one day, the brothers were out working away in a field, and the dad said, go down and check and see how your brothers are doing and take them some things. And so Joseph heads out there to go spend time and see how do what his dad said. And they see him coming, and they said, behold, that dreamer comes. Let's see what becomes of his dreams. So when Joseph came, they were going to kill him. One of the brothers spoke for him and said, no, let's not kill him. We don't want his blood on our hands. Here's a big pit. Let's throw him in the pit. And so they threw Joseph down in the pit so they wouldn't kill him, but they wouldn't have his blood on their hands, but he would starve to death and die down there. And then as they were getting ready to leave, they saw some slave drivers, some Ishmaelites, some Arab folks headed down to Egypt to sell. They had a big caravan of things to sell, and they said, "Hey, might as well make some money off the deal, and you know, let's not kill them. Let's just send them down to Egypt, and they'll sell them down there, and we'll never see or hear from him again." And so, off they sell him, and off goes Joseph. Now, we don't hear Joseph. There's one verse with just one sentence where you can feel his pain a little bit. But we don't find Joseph saying a whole bunch about how he felt. But how would you feel if you were walking down chained through a desert headed to a foreign country to be sold as a slave by your brothers? And you just went to go down to go do what your dad said there. How many of your brothers might do that? No, don't raise your hand. But how many like to do that to your brother? No, don't raise your hand for that either. But he's walking down. Can you imagine the thoughts that enter in his mind? And he gets down there and they put him on the slave block, and they go to sell him, and he gets sold to basically a general, a very important man in the army down there, of Pharaoh's army, and he is sold into his army, or into his house, and he becomes a household slave. And Joseph begins to work for him, but he actually works very hard for him. And God's hand was on Joseph, and God's blessing was upon Joseph. And Joseph began to get blessed by God, and so the blessing spread. All of a sudden, Potiphar was doing was turning to gold, and he was being blessed, and his house was being blessed, and everything was going great. And pretty soon he put Joseph over all of his house. Then he put him over all of his affairs, everything. And Joseph ran everything, and Joseph had control of everything when he was away on military things. And his house, he's going, "This is incredible. Something happens. Joseph has a blessing on him that it blesses my whole house. And I mean, my animals are having babies and are healthy, and my wife is nice in the morning and makes me bacon. And I mean, it's a good life, and everything's going great. And I feel great, and everything's going, I mean, I'm blessed in every way." And eventually, Joseph is over this whole house, and one day Potiphar's wife sets her eyes on him and tries to get him to commit adultery with her and sleep with her. And Joseph won't do it, and he runs away, but she grabs his coat as he's running away. She grabbed his clothing when she was talking to him, and Joseph ran away, and she was so mad at the rejection. Strange critters those women are. And she was so mad at the rejection, she screamed and yelled and said, "He tried to rape me!" And so they grab Joseph and throw him into prison. And there he is now. He's not even, for a while, he's prospering and doing well. Now he's in prison. And I don't think those prisons had cable TV and pool tables. And so he and yes, I've been in prisons where they have that. And not in prison, but preaching in prison. Joseph is in prison, and he starts working hard in prison and being blessed in prison. And the prison guard puts him over all the work of the prison and puts him in charge of everything, because he's diligent and doesn't let the prisoners escape and takes care of things and does things well. And everything's going extremely good. And a couple prisoners, very high prisoners, come in there, the baker of Pharaoh and the butler of Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's, of course, over the whole land. And they have dreams, and Joseph interprets their dreams for them. One of their dreams wasn't so great. It was, "Your head's going to be cut off in 3 days. Thanks." And the other one was, "You're going to be restored to your place, and you're going to be back there with Pharaoh in his house, and in his house. And when you do, remember me." And he doesn't remember him, and he goes off to the house, and he was returned there. And then Joseph is still stuck in prison. Boy, Joseph, the prison is being blessed. Eventually, Pharaoh has a dream, and they heard about Joseph's ability to tell of dreams. They pulled Joseph out of prison, bring before Pharaoh, and he had this dream of there was seven very healthy, fat cows and seven very skinny, sick cows afterward. And the fat ones, the skinny ones, or the skinny ones ate the fat ones, and that was a big, long dream. And he said, "What does it mean?" And he says, "You're going to have 7 years of great plenteousness. You're going to have 7 years of famine. And so you're going to be, that's what's going to happen in Egypt. And you're going to live off for 7 years what you got the first 7 years." And he said, "What should I do?" And Joseph says, "Well, here's how you got to do it. You got to put the stuff away and buy this and put the grain away during the good times for the 7 years of bad." And so they said, "Man, we got to do this." And so they said, "Who should we have do this?" And they looked and said, Joseph's the guy. And he does everything he does turns to gold. He is smart. He's brilliant. He's got some kind of spirit on him. They call it the spirit of the gods is in him. They didn't know the spirit of God. They didn't understand. And they put him number two in all of Egypt. Eventually, his brothers, the famine hits. And by the way, wouldn't be a bad idea during good times to put away stuff for bad times. It's a biblical principle. Consider the ant who in summertime store away the food for winter. It says that in Proverbs 8, I believe it is. And by the way, we're coming to some more hard times pretty soon. Somewhere along the way, this deck of cards has fallen. And you'd be wise to have a whole bunch of stuff put away. But they did that, and they put it away and put in Joseph in charge. And eventually the famine reaches up into where his brothers were in that land. And his dad said, here they have lots of food in Egypt. Go down there and buy it. They come down to buy it, and Joseph sees them, but he looks so different. He has an Egyptian haircut, Egyptian clothing. He's been many, 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 many years. He is a different man, and he speaks fluent Egyptian, and they don't notice him. They don't see who he is, but he sees who they are, and he basically wants to find out about his other brother who was left behind. He wants to find out about his dad's condition, and he basically puts him through the ringer a little bit and makes him come back twice. And then he tries to get him to bring the dad with him. And eventually, he gives him enough food as they go back and they have food to eat. And he blesses them in many ways. And eventually he comes back and he reveals himself to them and says, I'm Joseph, your brother. And they had bowed down to him at this time because they were so afraid of him because he made it look like they'd stole from him, and so they bowed down to him, and he says, I'm Joseph, your brother, and they said, oh, Joseph, yeah, I can't believe that Reuben over here threw you in that pit. I was behind the tree over there watching a bunny, and they went and said, you're going to kill us, aren't you? And Joseph said, no, God did this to save all of you alive. Bring Dad down, bring everybody down, we will... We'll take care of you here, and you'll be fine. We have plenty of food. I have storehouses full. We own everything. And that's the basic story of Joseph. Just a few lessons I want to give you from that story of Joseph. Number one, when the Lord is with you, you're going to be blessed. When the Lord is with you, you're going to be blessed. Chapter 39, it says in verse 1, and the Lord is with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And when the master saw the Lord is with him, and that the Lord made all that he do to prosper in his hand. Chapter 20, Joseph's master took him and put him into prison. Why? Because his wife had accused him. A place where the king's prisoners are bound, and he was there in prison, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed under Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. Blessings went on everyone who was around him because of him. Verse 5, and it came to pass at that time that he had made an overseer over his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. God's blessing was on those around him. Our memory verse, A good man obtains the favor of the Lord, and a just man walketh his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. His children are blessed after him. I want to say that when you are glowing with the blessing of God, those near you get blessed just by being around you. One of the things that you'll find in your life, and if I can condense a entire sermon of ideas and areas of your life, whether it's your children, your marriage, your job, your finances, your career. I want to say this, you can fight and fight and work very hard in life and spin your wheels and be frustrated. And you could think, I try to do right with my kids and it's not working. I try to do right with my marriage, it's not working. I try to do right with my finances, it's not working. I try to do right with my career, it's not working. I want to say, there's a catch-all that brings a blessing of God on you. And it's having God's hand upon you. It just seems like when you're not pleasing God, the Bible says when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him, Proverbs says. But But when you're not pleasing God, you will have a really good plan, and there's always a spoke in the tire. Something always happens that keeps you one step away from it working right, from you being blessed. And when the hand of God is upon you, you say things like, that went better than it should. But Murphy is your best friend when you're not right with God. And Murphy's law are all around you. And they happen to you all the time. See, the hand of God was good upon him, and he not only was he blessed in his ways, but everyone around him was blessed. And it didn't matter his circumstance. Circumstances didn't change or stop the Lord being with him. The Lord is with him when he was walking down to go be with his brothers. The Lord is with him when he was walking down to slavery. And he was in slavery and sold into slavery, and the Lord is still with him because God's blessing does not leave no matter what your circumstance is. I want to say, when I go to Haiti in May, if I'm right with God and pleasing God, I'll be in a fourth world country in very bad conditions where anything could happen. However, it won't change if God's blessing's with me. I can be blessed there and have been. God's blessings are, your life is not condemned to be a bad and miserable, messed up life because you came or are in a bad spot. You don't know my home, what it's like. I understand homes can be very bad. I grew up in one. I get that. However, I want to say, when God's hand is upon you, circumstances don't take God's hand off of you. God never says, I can't be there. I can't handle that. I can't bless that situation. No. You might be in a bad business to work at. You might be at a place that's not good in your life. I'm not talking morally. I'm talking just, you say, somebody messed up my life. No. Nobody messed up your life. You get God's blessing upon you. And you'll find out, even though someone might have put you in a bad spot, i.e. Joseph, a slave in Egypt, you're blessed there. And he was a prosperous man very soon in slavery. So how can that happen? He got blessed so much, he's over the whole household. You're really not a slave when you're in charge of everything. But God was going to make him more free and more free and more free. I want to say, if you can get God's hand upon you and God's blessing upon you, there's too much pressure in that bottle. It's coming out. You're going to be blessed. You're not condemned to bad circumstances the rest of your life. You're not condemned to a messed up life the rest of your life. You just need to get God's hand upon you. But there's these people in my life. I understand there's people in your life, and sometimes you're married to them, and sometimes they're your parents, sometimes they're your kids, sometimes they're your whoever. I understand that. Your boss. Maybe all those things. But when you start getting blessed by God, it starts blessing them, and they get changed. Do not decide, what am I going to do to manipulate this disaster situation, or throw up your hands and say, I can never be blessed again. Decide that you're going to get God's blessing upon you and see where it leads, because it's going to lead to great blessings. God can do things. And you're going to be blessed if God's with you. And the Lord's just going to work in your life. And the Lord's going to work all things together for good. And you may not be the number two person in the great kingdom like that. However, you're going to say, my life is blessed. Boy, they tried to ruin my life, just like Joseph. And many of you might have somebody who's tried to ruin your life. Don't let them. Don't fall down and lay on your back and cry and say, oh, my, this can be terrible. No. Get up on your feet, lift your shin up, say, God, I need your help. We're going to go out and have a great life. And go have a great life. And go have a great life. You just need to get God's blessing. God can bless you out of any mess. God can bless you out of any mess. Number two, he was diligent. He was diligent. He worked hard for his dad. He worked hard for Potiphar. He worked harder for the keeper of the prison. He worked hard for Pharaoh. He was a hard worker. I'm gonna read to you out of Proverbs, just what the Bible says about diligent people. What does God say about diligent people? Proverbs chapter 10, verse 4. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him, chapter 10. I was reading chapter 9, probably chapter 10, verse 4. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son. He that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. God blesses diligent people. They do well. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 24. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. And there's a lot of the verses we could read in Proverbs. And I'll read you another verse in just a minute in the New Testament. I want to say this. As Michael Jordan once said, somebody said, man, you are so lucky in that game. And Michael Jordan says, the harder I work, the luckier I get. The harder I work, the luckier I get. I want to say this. A lot of people throw up their hands and say, why, God? And God says, because you're lazy. It's an amazing thing. When you don't work, you have a lot of financial problems. I mean, I don't want to be too logical and simple here, but it kind of goes together. And I want to say this. Most bosses, I know it's favoritism sometimes, but most bosses, you work hard and you bust yourself and you be the best employee there, you're going to be blessed at work. You're going to get noticed eventually. I know sometimes some people don't notice, or the one time you stop and put your hands on your hips, they walk in the room and look at you. I know that stuff happens. But over time, you're going to be blessed, because God blesses diligent people. Because God blesses diligent people. Joseph, and boy, can you imagine many of us getting down there, and we're still in the Potiphar's house, and they say, go out there and cook soup, boy. I'm like, I'll cook soup. When he's not watching, guess what I'm doing to that soup? And we'd be whiny and mopey, and my stupid brothers sold me down here. I'm going to do this, and I don't want to work here, and I'm not going to work here. And you know the attitude we'd have. Same attitude some of us have at work right now. Stupid boss doesn't know how good I am, and I should get a promotion. Doesn't know him. You know, if you'd stop moping and start working. If you ever think that your job is so miserable and so tough, and boy, you just got it so bad, and you're just so poverty-stricken, take a missions trip with me. Come with me to Haiti in May. Watch Haitian men in a rice field. That's hard work, isn't it, Luke? Working with a hoe in a rice field. They don't have tractors. You'll see this massive 60-acre field hoed by hand. Standing in the water. I don't know how you do the rice thing. I just know they stand in the water and pick something. You know what it's like when it's 110 degrees and humid and you're standing in a watery field? You ever heard of mosquitoes? And malaria? I want to say, most of us, they're not cracking a whip over our back. And if you want to find a job, be diligent about finding a job. 40 hours a week. Spend the 40 hours you should be working, you would be working, looking for a job. Get up at 7 in the morning, hit the road at 8. And don't push refresh for 12 hours between your video games and think you're going to find a job. Okay, look online every day. Spend 2 hours looking online. Then spend 6 hours going to every business. Say, I'll be the best employee you ever had. I'll learn whatever you want to show me. Somebody will hire you within a week. Just hit it. Be diligent. Be diligent in life. Be diligent in everything. Don't be lazy. Don't lay around. Don't get up at noon. Don't lay around. Be diligent. When you go to work, work hard. The Bible says you're supposed to work for the Lord. Let me read you some verses here. It says, servant, obey your masters and obey in all things your masters according to flesh. Not with eye service. Not when they're looking, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. You go work for Jesus. Say, Lord, I love you. And Joseph said, you know what? Potiphar, I don't know why he bought me. I don't know why I'm here in slavery, but I'm going to work hard here. And guess what? Pretty soon he's living pretty comfortable. He was sleeping in a nice bed, and he wasn't in the slave quarters anymore. He was over the whole house. He was doing well. He was diligent. God blesses diligent people. And you do it for God. You love Jesus so much, you go to work for him and say, Lord, I'm working my best for you. I'm doing my best job I can do. I'm sweating. I'm working hard. Lord, notice this and bless this. Even if your boss doesn't notice, God did. He's going to bless you Work hard. Go the extra mile. Don't do the minimum at work. Don't just work when the boss is watching. Work hard. We are getting to be a lazy generation. It's not even a guy working extra and going the extra mile. It's you're lucky if you get 8 hours work for 8 hours pay. It's more six or five. And lunch break turns from a half hour to an hour. And people are slacking off and talking. Listen, work hard. Be diligent. Beat everybody else out because you work harder. And just be a diligent person. I think it's a good characteristic that Joseph had, and it's good in the Bible. Number three, he lived holy before the Lord. I'm back in Genesis 39, and he lived holy before God. Genesis chapter 39, verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph and said unto him, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, no, I can't do this because of a couple of reasons here. I'll give you those reasons in a sec. I want to say, he might have been able to get away with it, but he didn't do it. He lived holy. He was sexually pure. There's nothing wrong with that today. I know a generation I live in. I know what this world is like a little bit. And you know what? It's still right to live pure. It's still sin to have sex outside marriage. And it will be to the end of time, even if everybody's doing it. He lived pure and holy, and he did that. Next, he had integrity. Integrity. I love the word integrity. I have a sermon. I've been wanting to preach on integrity for so long. Integrity is someone who would do right even if they wouldn't get caught if they did wrong. Because it's who you are. You do right because you have integrity. The person gives you too much change and your integrity says, no, I only gave you a 10 out of 20. It's just something, and they wouldn't even know. It's something in you. And Joseph had this integrity that said, you know what? I'm not going to be bad to Potiphar. I'm not going to be bad to this person. I'm not going to be bad to this person. I'm going to walk in my integrity. And he said, your children are blessed after him. You know, we got way too many people who are always doing this. Looking around to see who's watching, decide if they're going to do it or not. How about you do this? Or how about you want to look in the mirror in the morning and feel good about yourself? Because the greatest reward integrity, besides God being pleased, is you can look in the mirror and say, you know what? You do right. I like what I see in that mirror. There are a lot of people who have to shave and brush your teeth real quickly. Because they have no integrity. They're sneaky. They're weaselly. Are those good churchy, babbly words? Weaselly. And they have to tell their kids, don't you act like me. And they wonder why the kids steal from mom and dad. Because dad, every time nobody's looking, you're stealing. And because you look at bad stuff on the internet and you think you could delete the history and you're okay now. Because you don't have integrity. And we'll talk about that in a whole message sometime. Integrity is important. Even if no one knows about it. Joseph said, Joseph could have got away with it. It's not wrong because you got caught. If it's wrong, it's wrong. Whether you get caught or not. Next, he was loyal. I like this one, verse 9. Watch his reasons. There is no, he says, he refused, verse 8, and said, I can't do that. Verse 8, behold, my master doesn't know what if not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath into my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How now can I do this great wickedness, and then look at the next word, and sin against God? Two things there. Do you see what the two things are? He says, no, I can't sin against God. How can I sin against God? But how can I also do this great wickedness when my when my boss has trusted me with everything he has. That's important. Loyalty. Being good to those who've been good to you. We don't have a lot of loyalty anymore. We won't be loyal to our parents, to our family. I'm not saying this is right, but remember the day when you don't say that about my dad? And kids got in fights in the playground for that stuff. Now it's because they don't have as good an app on their cell phone. And they digitally fight each other. And so we don't have that loyalty anymore. Listen, the biggest things, and I talked to a lot of pastors and try to help them through trouble. So I want to tell you, the biggest burden is a lack of loyalty in church. They will pray for that person. They'll be there in the hospital for them. They'll love them. They'll help them get out of sin. They'll help deliver their life. They'll when they mess up, they're there for them. They could come to church. They go find them. They bring them back. When they're living like the devil, they help them get back to God. And no matter how many times it's a point, the pastor loves them, and then all of a sudden the pastor forgets to say hi to them one Sunday morning, and they're gone. The lack of loyalty. The husband messes up a little bit and the wife is ready to bail. Or the wife messes up a little bit and the husband's ready to bail because there's no loyalty. There's no loyalty to our nation. There's no loyalty to many things. Listen, loyalty to those who've been good to you is important. Loyalty is a biblical characteristic. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. But how many people aren't loyal to God? They love Jesus all their heart, and they're going to serve him, and all of a sudden a few bad things happen in their life, and now they're bitter at God. Or they meet one hypocrite in church, and they won't go back to church because they're not loyal to God. Job was so loyal, he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Loyalty, stick-to-itiveness. Some Christians and some humans need to hang around some dogs for a while. Learn a little bit of loyalty. You get mad at your dog, slap upside the head, and your dog still loves you and licks your hand. And yet one time, somebody's been good to you for many, many years. Your friend has been good to you for many years. You disagree with them on one thing, and you're never going to talk to them again. Loyalty. Joseph said, you know what? My boss has given me all this trust, and he's done this to me, and he's given me everything I want in the house. I can eat anything, sleep anywhere, do anything with anything I want in this whole house. I can take whatever money I want. I have everything I want. He's given me everything except for you. How can I do this wickedness to him and sin against God? That's loyalty. That's loyalty. Stick and be loyal to your church. Be loyal to your mom and dad if they've been good to you. Be loyal to God. Be loyal to your friends. Stick with them. Be loyal to people who've been good to you. And of course, most of all, be loyal to the Lord. And number five, and these are some hard truths, aren't they? And by the way, this is why Joseph did this. And most of us would have still been muddling in misery in Potiphar's house. We would have been there griping and whining because we had that terrible. Our brother sold us. But last thing I want to say about Joseph, and he's so amazing at this, that God taught him this, he did not live in the past. He did not live in the past. What I really mean by that is he did not throw in the towel and he did not get bitter. This bitterness thing is a plague in our nation right now. You know what bitterness is? It's living in the past. That's all it is, living in the past. And can I tell you, if you're dealing with humans and you're going to live in the past, you can get bitter at everybody pretty much because everybody's going to disappoint you. As long as they don't have scars in their feet and hands and their name isn't Jesus, you're going to have to learn to forgive some things and forget about some things and move on. Because I'm not going to be perfect, and you're not going to be perfect, and your spouse is going to be perfect, and your kids aren't going to be perfect, and your mom's not going to be perfect, and your dad's not going to be perfect. And if you live in the past, you're going to be ruined. I don't know what people have done to you, and people have done some pretty bad things to people. I mean, there's a lot of crimes out there, and there's a lot of terrible things. But I don't know. Your brother's selling you into slavery when they're going to kill you. and then going down, and now your whole life is in a different country. Can you imagine? Can you just imagine? This week, your brothers sold you to some Saudi Arabian prince who was in town, and off you flew in a secret plane, and you were a slave in the middle of the desert, not able to get away for the next 30 years. And then you see your brother in town and he needs your help. I mean, what would you do? Joseph, by the way, he goes into prison. He tells the and watch Joseph. Just see a little bit of his feeling. You never see him complaining, but you see him just for a moment. In the next chapter, he tells the butler and the baker about the dreams. And he says to the butler, he says, "You're going to be restored into Pharaoh's house again, and when you do, remember me." Verse 14, "But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me. And make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house." Now watch, this is Joseph's whole time of letting it out just a little bit. "For indeed, I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here have I done nothing that they should put me in the dungeon here." He just comes out a little bit. Remember, he refused to commit adultery with Potiphar's wife. He runs away. She says, "He tried to rape me." Potiphar comes back, "You dirty, rotten, filthy thing. Throw him into the worst prison." And now he's in prison when he was just being loyal to Potiphar. Do you know how bitter that would make the average person? At Potiphar and at God. But Joseph didn't live in the past. And he just says, "I didn't do anything wrong. That's it. Remember me. Get me out of here." And guess what? It says, the butler forgot him. Another person. And yet Joseph lands in Egypt. "All right, I'm going to work hard. All right, what's the job today?" Not stinking brothers, "I'm going to kill them." "What's to do today?" "Okay, good. I'm going to work on this, work on this, work on this, work on this, work on this. Oh, thanks for the promotion. Work on this, work on this, work on this. Man, I can do a better job at this. I'm going to do this. Da-da-da-da. I'm working hard, working hard. Wow, thanks for the promotion. I'm over the whole house. Awesome, that's great. No, I'm not going to commit adultery. Down in the prison. A slave's prison, not a nice place. All right, what can we do to make this prison better? I'm going to work hard. Hey, how can I help you? Have this be a good prison. I'm going to be a blessing to you. Da, 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 da. Ooh, thank you. Da, 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 da. Hey, this is great. Yeah, God always blesses everything I do. Man, we're going to have the best prison in the whole, all of Egypt. This is going to be great. Da, 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 da. Awesome. Hey, you're going to have a dream. You're going to be restored. Remember me." Month later, 2 months later, 6 months later, nobody remembered him. "All right, that's okay. We got the prison to do here. I'm going to work in this prison. Not stinking butler and brothers and Potiphar and Potiphar's wife. And he deserves her." He didn't live in the past. He was doing what was in front of him. Don't live. Somebody hurts you when you're a kid. Don't live there. You keep letting them hurt you when you go back there. Move on. Have a great life. "But I was disadvantaged. I was brought up in a bad home. I didn't graduate high school." Don't worry about what you didn't do. What do you need to do? One of the hardest things and one of the best things we're able to do in See Lives Change in counseling is saying, "Stop it. What do you need to do now?" "Well, because my mom didn't take me to school, I didn't graduate high school, and now I can't get it." Okay, so, you need to graduate high school? "Well, yeah, because my mom..." You need to graduate high school? "Well, yeah, because my mom..." "No, you need to graduate high school?" "Yes." "What do you need to do to go to high school?" "I don't know. I've never thought about it." "Let's think about it." "It's just going to be hard if my mom..." "Nope. Quit it." You're looking backwards and walking into the light poles. Stop living in the past. It doesn't do anything for you except for hurt again and give you an excuse to fail. If you want an excuse to fail, you can. You'll find one. Okay? I grew up in a terrible home. I grew up with a bad past. You know what? I have a great family and a great life. I grew up in a terrible home. I don't live there. It made me say, I shouldn't want to live like that anymore. Now, what do I got to do to not live like that? Why do you want to live in misery? Why do you want to let them hurt you again? Why do you want to continue in failure? Why? Because it's easier to say, I just can't do it. I quit. Oh. And he lay like a potato bag on his, a bug on his back. Or a beetle. I'm helpless. You're not helpless if you quit living in the past. And Joseph didn't let his brothers ruin him. Joseph didn't let the prison ruin him. Didn't let Potiphar's wife ruin him. Didn't let Potiphar ruin him. Didn't let the butler ruin him. And pretty soon, he's the number two man in the nation. And the whole world's coming to him for food. Not bad for a guy who's thrown into a pit. Why? Because he didn't live in the past. He didn't live in the past. He could have gotten bitter. He could have gotten angry. And let's look when his brothers come to him at the end. Because you know what his brothers would have done if they were him? Remember the past. And they're afraid. And they're thinking. And by the way, when you walk in integrity and you do the right thing, people who aren't like you won't believe you. Because they wouldn't do that. If you look at Genesis chapter 50, we'll finish up. I'm so glad that God says, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth into those things which are before. I'm so glad my God is a God about the future and not the past. I'm so glad that my sins are gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. I don't have to sit and live in the things I've sinned before and keep on living in guilt and misery of the past. I can just move on and have a new day today. Living in the future, living in today, diving into a great life and diving into doing things for God and living for God. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 17. This is his brothers talking when they're coming before Joseph. So shall you say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee, thy trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake to him. They're apologizing and asking for their lives. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face. There is the bowing down he prophesied. And they said, behold, we will be thy servants. He said, we'll be your servants, your slaves. Just don't kill us. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring it to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. I want to say this. Joseph just said, guys, forget about all that. God meant it for a good purpose. You couldn't have thrown me into that pit if God wouldn't have allowed it. And I wouldn't have come down here if God wouldn't have allowed it. God is with me. And God let me be in Potiphar's house so I can go down into the jail, so I can go down and meet that butler. And so that butler would go and mention when all of a sudden Pharaoh had a dream, he would come to the butler and say, anybody know anybody who can interpret dreams? I had to be in that jail so that I could come out and tell Pharaoh the dream. So he put me in charge so I could organize this thing and have all this food so you can eat today. It was all the will of God. And I'm not mad at all. God's with me. Nothing can keep me down. What are you talking about? We're fine. Get up. Eat. Relax. I'm not going to do anything to you. Because God's hand is upon me. And Joseph was blessed because of his integrity, because of his diligence, because he didn't look at the past, and because he moved on in his life. And he did great and saved his entire family from starvation. Because God is with him, and he did the right thing in bad circumstances. How do I not get bitter, Pastor? Somebody did this to me, and this to me, and this to me. The first thing you got to do is realize what God's done for you, and that living in bitterness to them is not going to do any good. There's a lot of bitterness. Joseph didn't live there. Realize that people who've done bad things to you do it because Satan attacks them, because they don't know. As Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you know what? Just look forward to being a blessing to them someday and reaching them and changing them. You cannot live in bitterness and be blessed. Bitter or better, what's it going to make you? Joseph, it was made better. Most of you are made bitter. Don't live in the past. Go have a great life. Go serve God. Be diligent. Get God with you by pleasing him. Live holy. Live in integrity. Be loyal. Do not live in the past. And guess what? Joseph was blessed in all he did. no matter how bad it was, no matter where he started from, and he started from the bottom, he was blessed. Let's pray. Father, I pray we would walk in integrity. I pray we'd walk in loyalty. I pray we'd walk in diligence. I pray we'd just have your hand upon us, and I pray that we would realize that your way is right, and that your blessing changes everything. Lord, how many people have we seen have terrible starts and wonderful finishes because of you? And how many people have we seen have good starts and try everything and have all their little manipulations and efforts and not end well and are unhappy and not blessed because they don't have you? Lord, I pray today that every one of us would live in the present, what we need to do, and in the future. I pray we'd forgive people in our marriages if there's bitterness there and quit bringing things up from the past. I pray we'd live in blessing. I pray we just look at to please you and see how you're going to bless us no matter what somebody does to us. I pray we do the things we ought to do, Father. Thank you for the word today. Thank you for all it teaches us. Thank you for being a good God who cares, who can bless anybody in any circumstance and work in their life. Thank you for your goodness in this. Thank you for this wonderful example of Joseph. Lord, I don't think I'd have done as good as him, but I think we got to see exactly how to do it. May we emulate it. And may if somebody doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior today, may they be saved. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. No one's looking around. A couple questions.